Live at Carnegie Hall in 1938, Benny Goodman and his orchestra with Swing Time in the Rockies. Benny on clarinet, trumpeter Harry James were the key soloists, and the rest of the band, Ziggy Ullman and Chris Griffin on trumpets, Red Ballard and Vernon Brown trombones, George Koenig, Jaime Scherzer, Art Rollin and Babe Russin saxes, with Jess Stacy piano, Alan Roos guitar, Harry Goodman bass, and, punctuating the whole band, Gene Krupa on drums. I'll be back next week for 1 week only at the earlier time of 4 o'clock before a live relay from the Met of Prince Igor. But for now, from me, Alan Shipton, goodbye.
That's Jazz Record Requests, and you'll find the contact details for the programme on today's page of the Radio Times. And speaking of opera...
Opera on Three from the Met celebrates Richard Strauss.
I'm Margaret Chunthwaite, and I'll be bringing you Der Rosenkavalier, 100 years after it was first performed here at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. Edward Gardner conducts the Met's orchestra and chorus, with Martina Serafin as the Marshalin, Alice Coote as Octavian, Aaron Morley as Sophie, and Peter Rose as Baron Ox.
Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, presented by Margaret Junthwaite from the Metropolitan Opera New York, here on BBC Radio 3 on Monday evening at 6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock this Saturday evening on BBC Radio 3, and that means it's time for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Claire Martin.
Hello. On tonight's show, we feature the unique talents of Australian multi-instrumentalist James Morrison as he joins the BBC Big Band for our concert set recorded last November at Sevenoaks School. I'll be talking to Israeli bassist, composer, arranger and singer Avishai Cohen about his new release, Alma. And as always, we'll be taking a look at some new releases that are hot off the press. But drawing on a lifetime's experience of working as a sideman to some of the great names of soul and jazz, and as a composer for film and TV, Michael McAvoy has finally found his way home to his love of jazz. His new CD, entitled The Long Way Home, features 8 of his own compositions and a stellar cast of UK jazz musicians. Let's hear Nigel Hitchcock take the solo on alto sax on Silverlink Express. from the new album The Long Way Home by Michael J. McAvoy. That was the track Silverlink Express. And that CD is out on the 10th of March on Edition Records. Well, last November, the BBC Big Band performed to an enthusiastic audience at Sevenoaks School in Surrey under the very experienced hand of their conductor, Barry Forgy. The impressive Pamoja Hall was the setting for a programme of festive treats, which we broadcast before Christmas, and some hard swinging arrangements by Barry and the band's special star guest, the multi-instrumentalist James Morrison. Well, here are three of those numbers now, Thaddeus Rex, Cottonmouth, and to start with, James's arrangement of the Hoagie Carmichael classic, Lazy River.
Thank you.
Well, many national and international stars have performed on this stage, so let's continue now with tonight's programme with the BBC Big Band, conducted by Barry Forgy, playing Cottonmouth. BBC Big Band, conducted by Barry Forgy and featuring the remarkable and versatile James Morrison on various brass instruments during that concert, and that was an arrangement called Cottonmouth. We'll hear some more from that concert recorded last November at the Pomoja Hall in Sevenoaks School later on in the show. Israeli bassist and composer Avishai Cohen has just released his 14th CD as a leader called Almar. As ever, with his tireless musical explorations, he's managed to shift the boundary of musical genres and has returned to his first loves, classical music and more particularly chamber jazz. And as always, he draws on the traditional Middle Eastern sound of his homeland for his inspiration. Well, I get a chance to talk to him about this new project, but first let's hear a track from that CD. And this is called Schlosserer. Taken from the brand new release from Avishai Cohen called Almar, that was the rhythmically virtuosic Schlosserer. And I'm delighted to say that Avishai is with me here in the studio. Welcome to Jazz Lineup.
Thank you.
Well, it's been 11 years since we last spoke.
Hard to believe.
It's hard to believe. You just released Lila, and 9 albums later, here we are with Almar, your 14th release as a leader. So Tell us what's different about this album, because you've collaborated with more musicians than usual.
Yeah, I've always had a thing for classical composition and have been close to that and influenced by that and heard that from people absorbing my music. In the last 3 years, I've been trying and rehearsing and writing and arranging for a string quartet with oboe combined with my piano trio. So it's like eight people, but it's like a mini orchestra. It's like a chamber thing, and it came out so nice that I've decided to really take it to the next step and to record a whole album like that.
Sure, and unusually you have two violas in this
setup.
How did you? What made you think two violas would work? And did you try without two violas first of all? Or
yeah, well I've started like experiencing with the string quartet probably 10 years ago with nobody knowing about it, with a few little arrangements that I did, and I noticed that my writing at the time, at least, was range-wise, it was pretty low, I just had an idea maybe to write instead of for a string quartet, a classical string quartet with two violins, viola and cello, to have a darker sound, a lower sound, with two violas in the middle instead of having two violins. So it takes a lot of thinking and changing and experimenting and a lot of guts in a way. But it yielded something kind of special for me and for this project. I don't know anybody else that has done that.
No, it's very original. And you say over 3 years you've been collecting material, writing material, going back to the material and rehearsing with these guys. So that's a lot of rehearsal for one album.
I rehearse their life out. They hate me, but I'm a rehearser.
Okay, that's okay.
I've always been one. The music requires it, and definitely this time it does and did and will.
And you, when you perform, mostly every time I've seen you, no one's reading music, so you're expecting people to... Did you inflict that on them as well? Because it's a lot of difficult stuff going on, difficult time signatures.
You're right. Well, they are classically trained musicians. They don't really know how to operate without music in front of them. Even if they know the music, they still need it. It's kind of like a thing. But I will tell you that some of them started playing without the music, some of the tunes already in there when we toured a bunch. So I've even been able to change them a bit.
Yeah, talking of which, did you entice them into improvising? I mean, especially on one of the tracks, this Arab medley, which is fantastic, and the oboe is going for it. Did he suddenly think, I'm going to improvise? Or was he a classical player that could improvise? Because often, if you ask classical players to improvise,
they never do. They are afraid of it. They hate it. But my oboe player in this band, Yoram Lachish, I knew of him. I've met him at least 10 years ago. He was in a little combo that I was teaching in a little place in Israel. And he, already then, he was improvising a bit with the oboe. And I was like, wow, this is special. I remembered him, seeked him for this project. And now I have him as an improviser on a few tunes.
Yeah, he looks very natural when he improvises. What's great about this album, what's different as well, is you've got those through composed pieces, very classically written, every note thought about and placed on the page, but also chapters for improvisation. So was that intentional to sort of make it sort of so everybody gets a chance to do their thing? And did the jazz players want more time to stretch out?
Well, no, it's listen, it's what it is. This project is different from playing a trio or a quartet, a jazz quartet. The beauty about this is that it combines the discipline of playing through composed classically written pieces with the ability to sometimes dive into this great solo like we always do. So being not able to do something but doing it less makes it sometimes bigger and more influential. So this project has been very challenging for everybody and therefore has the outcome that it has.
Lots of influences in your music, Avishai, especially Middle Eastern influences. Is that from, growing up and going to music school in Israel, and lots of difficult time signatures as well. I spent a lot of time trying to count through your tunes, actually.
Don't bother. Just enjoy the music. Yes, I've been fortunate to be having open ears, mainly because I think that it doesn't matter where you're from. Almost, it's if you have an open ear and heart, you absorb so much culture. It's all around. Look at London. This is the world we're living in. You can't but just be influenced from things. And in Israel, it's a melting pot. And I've heard many, many things that stuck into my emotional memory and come out in compositions, whether it's Lebanese influenced or whether it's Turkish or flamenco, you know, Spanish flamenco, or those are all things that are an influence on me, as well as the classical and the American jazz. And you're talking already so much music.
But you managed to create your own sound, your own voice. But, you know.
Thank you. Well, I've been told that I'm happy that that's what happened with me after quitting school and upsetting my parents. I just started my musical pursuit very, very early and in a very serious way. So I guess it all was worth it, you know.
Do you think the next step would be perhaps to even expand more with your writing? Is the next step going to be orchestra?
Maybe you have some abilities to know the forthcoming, because it is exactly where it's going to go in 2015 and 16. We're already looking at orchestra work. And there's orchestras that are interested, and that's where it's going.
So let's just talk about your writing on this album. We're going to play in a minute A Child Is Born, which you've recorded before, and now you've revisited. Do you like playing standards? Just that's a question from me outside of this album.
Well, you know, I do. I have done it much more when I was in New York in my younger years and learned a bunch about music in general and jazz for sure through the American, mainly, standards. And there's great composers that have written great pieces. But then naturally, I'm a writer, and I have started writing my own music in my 20s already. And it was always most important for me to convey that. But so I haven't done that much, and it's very rare on my records to hear a standard. But I do every once in a while when it's really something that it's important for me and is very much coming from me. And A Child Is Born, I was thinking, wow, that arrangement that I did with the Unity, that record, could be nice for the strings. I must check it. And then once I written it for them and we tried it, it was like, wow, this has been written for this.
Well, it's great to see you again. I hope it's not another 12 years before I see you. And we'll play the song that we were talking about earlier on, Thad Jones's Child Is Born, Avishakane. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
A Child Is Born from Avishai Cohen, taken from his new album, Almar, and we thank him for coming in to talk to us today. We're now for another brand new release from one of the great women that the UK has produced in jazz. Grammy-nominated Norma Winston, MBE, has sung with musical partners Glauco Venier, an Italian pianist, and German reeds player Klaus Gessing since 2002. Their new release, Dance Without Answer, is out on the prestigious ECM label and showcases Norma's formidable talents as a lyricist beautifully. Most of the songs are originals by the band, but there are some covers, including songs penned by Tom Waits, Nick Drake, and even Madonna, whose Live to Tell gets the magical Winston treatment. But let's hear the title track, Dance Without Answer.
Slips into night, the setting sun is gone. Just now and then her voice on the wind, still she calls him. Always been, or so it seems to him, alone, since he refused to answer. She dances from his arms, it's bittersweet, the incomplete. Goodbye. Between them now, a since he refused to answer. the perfect chance to fly the commonplace, no face to face goodbye between them now, a
taken from the new release by National Treasure, Norma Winston. That was Dance Without Answer with Glauco Venio and Klaus Gessing. That CD is out now on the ECM label. The second Liverpool International Jazz Festival takes place between Thursday the 27th of February and Sunday the 2nd of March, and it all happens at the Capstone Theatre, which is Liverpool's international arts venue. Well, I've got Neil Campbell, the festival director, on the line. Neil, welcome to Jazz Lineup. Tell us all about this it's the second one, the Liverpool International Jazz Festival.
Yes. Well, I mean, the venue, Capstone Theatre, which is the main venue, has been putting on jazz for about 3 years, really, since it opened up. And so we thought last year we'll consolidate that into a festival, which is really Liverpool's first proper international jazz festival, the centre of which is a concert hall, which is a 260-seat concert hall here as part of Liverpool Hope University. So last year we had Courtney Pine and Dennis Baptiste and some great, you know, fantastic names. And this year we're really upping the ante, and we've got, again, some fantastic musicians, including The Impossible Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Blue Touch Paper, Colin Towns' project. We've got Get the Blessing on the Sunday evening. And we're kicking off with Jason Rebello on the first night, on Thursday the 27th. And then throughout the weekend, we've got a total of 10 concerts across a long weekend, and some workshops and other after events in the city, in Liverpool.
Fantastic. What's the audiences for jazz in Liverpool like, Neil? Are you hoping to obviously spread the word around and get people that perhaps wouldn't even go to the Capstone Theatre, let alone to a jazz gig?
Yes, it's something we've been building, and it is a challenge. Perhaps that's why we're just starting to really create or develop a new audience for jazz in Liverpool. There is a sort of grassroots audience with local artists, bands such as The Weave and Blind Monk Trio that are based in Liverpool.
Mm.
And there's a sort of bar-related jazz scene. But as for concert hall jazz, this is something that's fairly new.
Brilliant.
To get artists of this calibre to Liverpool is has really been a big development for the city, I think.
Oh, it's fantastic news.
Contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. So can people just turn up and get tickets on the night, or can they get one of those tickets, those stroller tickets that will get them in every concert?
Yes, you should be able to come in to concerts, and purchase tickets.
Right.
But it's probably best to get them in advance.
Sure.
All the details are at our website, which is the theatre's website. That's www.thecapstonetheatre.com. And there's a section there for the jazz festival. But you can also buy a festival pass,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to go to everything, which is significantly cheaper than buying individual tickets. So if people are planning to come along across to Liverpool and stay, then that's probably the one to get.
Fantastic. And four nights, so you're going to have four nights of no sleep then?
That's right. Well, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. It does completely absorb my life, but I suppose the planning of it absorbs your life as well, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, sure. Well, I actually do know a bit more about what you mean, so I've been thinking about doing a festival in Brighton, and there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and all credit to all festival directors and programmers and curators up and down the country trying to keep this music alive, you know, and this is a great thing. So we wish you well, and we are going to play now one of the artists you mentioned, who's kicking off the festival on Thursday the 27th, is the great pianist Jason Rebello. Good luck, Neil, for your second festival, Liverpool International Jazz Festival at Capstone Theatre. Here's Jason Rebello. Thank you. Taste of pianist Jason Robello, who will be performing at this year's Liverpool International Jazz Festival, and you can hear him on Thursday the 27th of February at the Capstone Theatre, and that gig starts at 7:30. You'll listen to Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, online, on FM and on digital radio. Well, let's go back now to our concert set recorded last November at the Pomoja Hall, which is part of the very impressive Sevenoaks School in Surrey. The BBC Big Band were on top form, conducted by the much-loved Barry Forgy, and were joined by their special guest, the Australian multi-instrumentalist James Morrison. Let's hear the second half of tonight's concert, and James is in a melancholy mood as he plays I'm Getting Sentimental Over You. Thank you.
you.
We're going to do a different feel altogether now. It's a Latin kind of number. It's not just a samba. I was going to say it's a samba, but it's not, is it, really? But Tom will help me here. Tom, we were discussing this earlier. What would you call this? A sort of a funky Afro-Cuban sort of swinging jazz rock, classical punk, waltz, reggae, calypso type of feel. We tried to get it down to a single word. I believe Scottish is what we came up with. This is called Enchanted. We'll be right back. have to be very careful what you say on stage, I've discovered. Only recently, after years of being on stage, I thought you could say what you liked. But you have to be very careful because apparently people believe you. that's not to say that everything I'm not saying isn't true, but occasionally you have a joke. So I walked out on stage recently with this instrument and said, this is my tenor saxophone. Now, the tenor saxophone, can you just hold up a tenor for a sec there? Of course, it's that saxophone. It's quite a lot bigger. And I said to the crowd, unfortunately, recently when I washed it, the water was too hot. Now, that's the correct response, laughter. Perhaps a little bit more than that, but anyway. So after the show, a woman came up to see me. She had a daughter with her, only this tall, and she had an enormous case, which was obviously a tenor saxophone. She could hardly lift it. And the woman said to me, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Now we know when we wash her saxophone to make sure the water's cold. I didn't know whether to be more amazed by the fact that she thought that the temperature of the water could turn a tenor saxophone into this, or just that she thought you washed saxophones. It's like, yes, we'll do that, and then we're going to hose off the piano. Just so we're really clear, you don't wash saxophones, all right? Just so we know that. We're going to do an arrangement of a beautiful song. It's called Here's That Rainy Day, and this one done by another Australian arranger, Mr. Graham Lyle.
Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke's Here's That Rainy Day, aptly titled considering the wet weather that we've all been having. And that was the BBC Big Band conducted by Barry Forgy with multi-instrumentalist James Morrison as their very special guest. And that concert set was recorded last November at the Pamoja Hall in Sevenoaks School in Surrey. Well, that's nearly all from us this week, but to play us out, here's something which has long been a favourite of mine, the guitarist Pat Martino playing tribute to his inspirational friend Wes Montgomery. Taken from his tribute album to Wes on Blue Note Records called Remember, here's the very cool Grooveyard. From me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye. Thank you.
Was Grooveyard by Pat Martino, ending tonight's edition of Jazz Lineup. It was presented by Claire Martin and produced in Glasgow by Lindsay Pell. If you'd like more information on Jazz Lineup, you can go to the programme page on the Radio 3 website. And the programme returns in 3 weeks' time on Saturday, the 15th of March. Well, hello, good evening and welcome to Radio 3. If you've recently tuned in, this is Ian Skelly to guide you through our evening tonight on Radio 3. We have drama, contemporary music and, in just a moment, live music from Manchester. Strauss, Mozart and Beethoven on the bill, courtesy of the Manchester Camerata, the soprano Ruby Hughes and the pianist Paul Lewis. Our new play tonight is a dark comedy about love, loss and prejudice, all set in Cardiff's Georgetown, amid neighbours that draw the central character into a sinister story. It's called Terrace. It's this week's play in our cutting-edge drama series, The Wire, and you can hear it at 9:45. And at 10:30, Here and Now features the music of James McMillan. He'll be in conversation during the programme, and you can hear the first performance of at least three of his pieces, all played in a concert given by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by the man himself. Here and Now is at 10:30. But it's 7:30 now, time for Radio 3 to go live in concert, and tonight we're at Bridgewater Hall in Manchester. Let's join Tom McKinney.
Ian, thank you very much, and welcome to an evening of heroes and tyrants. That's the billing for this concert by Manchester Camerata, conducted by their music director Gabor Tokash-Noj, as part of the Strauss's Voice Festival, this city's way of marking the 150th anniversary of the birth of Richard Strauss. And it's Strauss that opens tonight's programme, followed by Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 25 with soloist Paul Lewis. Well, there's no dedication or references to heroes and tyrants in that, although any composer in Mozart's time would have been employed by the blue-blooded and the obscenely privileged, always a fine training ground for both heroes and tyrants alike. Then in the second half, Manchester Camerata will perform Beethoven's Third Symphony, the Eroica, the greatest piece of music to be written in honour of a man who was both a hero and a tyrant, Napoleon Bonaparte. Or at least the symphony was very nearly dedicated to Napoleon. Much more about that later. But in just a moment, soprano Ruby Hughes will be joining the orchestra to open tonight's concert with three orchestral songs by Richard Strauss, Das Bächlein, Mein im Kind, and Mein Auge. The second and third songs belong to the Opus 37 set of six songs written in 1898, during an amazingly prolific period in which many of Strauss's songs were written. They're both originally for high voice and piano, and were later orchestrated by the composer. Mein im Kinde, My Child, is a setting of a poem by Gustav Falk when Strauss and his wife Pauline were awaiting the arrival of their first child. The song opens with the words, "You sleep, and gently I lean over your little bed and bless you." The text for the third song, Mein Auge, My Eye, is by the poet Richard Damel, a contemporary of Strauss, and which Strauss dedicated to Pauline and their newborn son, in fact their only child, Franz. Damel was horrified to hear that Strauss was intending to use the poem, which by now he regarded as immature and no longer indicative of his style, remarking that my innards are churning at the very thought of it. So, there we have two wonderfully guileless songs from a period of immense joy in Strauss's life. However, the first song tonight, Das Bächlein, The Little Brook, which, although being very short and superficially uncomplicated, is loaded with troubling details regarding Strauss's relationship with the Nazi Party in the 1930s, in particular the song's dedicatee. With 70-year-old Richard Strauss being one of the world's most celebrated and famous musical figures when the Nazis came to power, the Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, sought to champion Strauss as a totemic figure of non-degenerate and pure German music, untainted by exotic influence or sullied by the racially inferior. Goebbels made a deal with Strauss by promising to change Germany's copyright laws in return for Strauss accepting the post of president of the Reichsmusikkammer, the ministry of music that oversaw and controlled musical life in the Third Reich. Strauss accepted, and in gratitude he dedicated Das Bächlein to Goebbels in 1933. But such cordiality was to totally dissolve in less than 2 years when Strauss was dismissed for, amongst many things, refusing to denounce Jewish composers like Mendelssohn and Mahler. He then spent a decade in the terrifying position of constantly pleading and using his immense influence in order to quite literally save the lives of his Jewish daughter-in-law and grandchildren. Well, if this song is new to you, then you'll be amazed at how there could be so much controversy within such a pretty song that doesn't even last 2 minutes. Well, you heard some applause just now as I was talking. That was the orchestra coming onto the stage, led by Ardy Brett tonight, having a quick tune. And then we'll be joined by our soloist, the soprano Ruby Hughes, and conductor Gabor Tokash-Nagy.